Hey everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Following Para Lumen, quote unquote, not your ordinary podcast, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Dehuko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get the show on the road. Hey everyone, I'm back with yet another episode for the Following Para Lumen podcast series. So I'm still in the Philippines and there's literally a super typhoon in the country, which is like such a bummer. And I just caught a sinus infection, which is also so annoying. But anyway, for this episode, we'll be talking about teaching English abroad. We have a special guest who's all the way in Quebec, Canada. So welcome, Melody Brock. Hi.
Hello. Hi. It's great to be here.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
That's great. So, maybe they'll be interested in how we met?
Yeah, it's actually a funny story. We're both going to go to the same university, and then things happened, and neither of us were able to start this year. But we started, we were in the same Facebook group at the university, and started talking online, and became friends that way.
Yep. It's like another millennial friendship.
Yeah. And we found out recently that we know some of the same people.
It's true. I feel like the university town that we're going to is like just a small town, so people know each other. Okay, so today we'll be talking about teaching English abroad because Melody just got her TEFL. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Certificate. Yep. So, would you want to tell us what that is?
Well, TEFL, which is TEFL, stands for Teaching English as a Foreign Language, and much like it sounds, it's a certificate that says you can teach English as a foreign language. So the training just involves various methods and ways to do that.
Okay. Is that the only certificate that you can get?
There's also some others. There's the main ones are TEFL and TESOL. TESOL is TESOL. That stands for Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages.
Oh, okay.
It's essentially the same thing as the TEFL, and mine is actually for both. I'm certified of both. There is also a CELTA, CELTA, which I don't remember off the top of my head what it stands for, but it is a British version. It's basically the next step up above the TEFL or TESOL.
I think it's like Cambridge English.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So, I feel like this is a very apt topic because in a few weeks I'm flying out to Morocco to teach English, which is a bit odd because I don't have any of the certifications. So, I'm trying to figure out which one is best to get, or if I should just do it online or something like that.
There's actually a lot of teachers who don't even have the certificate. It just makes your job search a lot easier if you have it. Plus, having that experience is kind of nice because if you take the program, you already have experience teaching classes and creating your lesson plans. Otherwise, you're just jumping straight in if you get a teaching job without having that background.
Yeah. Okay, so how did you get the idea that teaching English abroad is a possibility? Or was it by yourself, or did someone encourage you to do it?
Well, it was something that I knew had existed for a long time, but I didn't start looking into it until October 2017. I started researching various ways to travel because I had that window between high school and university where, you know, I wouldn't be doing anything otherwise.
Yeah, basically,
so I wanted to fill that, and I wanted to travel, but unlike a vacation where you're just spending the money and that's it, I wanted something that would benefit me in the future as well. Mm-hmm. And that is when I decided that the TEFL sounded like a good opportunity for me.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm really glad I took it.
Was it, hard and costly to get the certificate? Oh, also, is this certificate acknowledged internationally?
Well, I got mine through International TEFL Academy, which is one of the biggest companies out there for doing this, but there's also a lot of other options. Their program programs. They have them in dozens of countries. You can pick pretty much anywhere you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Their costs range from $1,500 to $2,100 U.S. dollars.
Okay.
Their online course is $1,400. The course I took was $1,700, so middle of the road as far as the cost goes. But mm-hmm. there was also a $600 homestay fee on top of that, which included meals, laundry, and a very wonderful family that I was sad to leave. Oh. And then there will also be your travel costs, you know, like plane tickets, any souvenirs you want to buy, any trips you want to take while mm-hmm. you're in that country.
Yeah.
So it's important to take those costs into consideration as well.
Yep.
Sure. So what were the other questions you asked me a lot at once?
Oh, was it, is it acknowledged internationally?
Well, there's no single accrediting body for it, mm-hmm. but as long as the program has at least 100 hours of coursework and training and at least 6 hours of live practice teaching and live observation of ESL students,
yeah.
and you have qualified instructors, for example, they have master's degrees in TESOL, or they have a master's degree in linguistics or education with ESL emphasis, or mm-hmm. 8 years of ESL teaching experience, you should have no trouble having your certificate recognized anywhere.
That's cool.
Yes.
So,
and the best part about mm-hmm. it is a lot of countries, particularly Asian countries, really want English teachers, especially yeah. a country like South Korea. It's as long as you have the qualifications, it's very easy to get a decent job there.
I have to keep that in mind. Okay, so did you face any struggles when you were teaching abroad? Has there been any like language barrier problems with your coworkers or with your students?
With coworkers, no, because they were fellow English teachers.
Mm-hmm.
With students, you conduct the class 100% in English. You're not allowed to use their native language.
Oh,
and this applies not just in Costa Rica, but any ESL classroom in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be allowed to speak the native language. So that entails often reminding students that, hey, I can only speak English. I can't mm-hmm. understand you. Even if you do understand them, you have to know I can't understand you.
Mm-hmm.
And usually once they've been taking the classes for a while, especially once they're starting to get fluent in English, that won't be a problem.
How old was the age gap that you were teaching?
Some of the students are my age. Some were a little bit younger. I'm 18 for reference. Some of the students are my age. Some were a bit younger. One of the students was in his 40s. So okay. there's a lot of age range there. I taught both teenagers and adults.
Okay, so.
So also on the topic of not being able to speak the native language in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
If you do know the native language, it is still helpful for you because you can use cognates. Cognates okay. are words that sound the same in both languages. For mm-hmm. example, problem in English is problema in Spanish.
Yeah.
So if you can use cognates, that cuts down on the amount of words the students have to learn in the lesson because
okay.
they'll already understand those words, and it makes it easier for them to absorb the material and for you as a teacher to create a lesson plan that they can understand easily.
I'm kind of scared because, like, in Morocco, they speak Arabic and French. So I don't know any French and I don't know any Arabic. So I'm trying to like learn at least the basics so I wouldn't have to be like very, very like unprepared. So that's
outside of the classroom, being able to speak a little bit of the native language will be very beneficial.
Yeah. Oh, okay, so why did you choose Costa Rica?
Well, for a very long time, and I think this is largely because of Gilligan's Island,
mm-hmm.
I've always loved the tropics.
Okay.
I had originally considered going to Peru for the course,
mm-hmm.
but due to the cost of the plane tickets, I ended up going to Costa Rica instead. It was significantly cheaper.
Oh,
and
okay.
I absolutely fell in love with the country. It's very beautiful. Lots of palm trees,
mm-hmm.
Just beautiful jungle there. And the beaches are absolutely gorgeous.
That's nice.
I just seeing the pictures, I already knew it was a country I'd like to at least visit.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was there, you know, the people were very friendly, very helpful. It was just a really nice atmosphere there.
Okay, so how long did the whole teaching program and the actual teaching in a classroom take?
The TEFL course that I took was 4 weeks. It started July 9th and ended August 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
I flew down July 6th and came back August 6th, so I was there for a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
They gave us the weekends off during the course, so my classmates and I, we did like a road trip to Arenal Volcano.
Oh, that's nice.
We went to Puerto Viejo, which is a beach on the Caribbean coast with a lot of Jamaican influence.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite memories from the trip was ziplining in the pouring rain during a thunderstorm. That was definitely
an experience.
A unique experience. It was very wet.
Was it worth it?
For me, absolutely. If you're someone who doesn't like traveling or you don't like teaching and mm-hmm. you take this course, you probably won't say it was worth it.
Yeah.
Your answer will probably be very different, but if you enjoy either of those things or think you will like them, I wouldn't hesitate to recommend it. I just say make sure you do your research first.
Mm-hmm. So, in the future, do you think that when you teach again, what country were you thinking of going?
Mine, while I'm living in Quebec, mm-hmm. and once I have my bachelor's degree, South Korea is the first on my list for teaching, but I'm open to other possibilities. It's just South Korea is one of the better countries as far as being able to save money on
okay.
teaching. Teachers are very much in demand there. They will pay your airfare. They will pay the rent for your apartment. They will help you with getting visas, and I believe they will cover half of your medical costs there as well.
Oh, really?
And they have decent wages, so you can save most of the money you're making.
Mm-hmm. In Korea.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. And I feel like Korea is a really yeah. great country. I mean, it's cold.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a place I'd be interested in visiting regardless.
Yeah.
Speaking in general, Asian countries are where the money is at, and like South America and Latin America, you can make a decent wage to live on, but
mm-hmm.
it's not the kind of place you go if you want to save money for when you come back.
Yeah. That's true.
But I'm also definitely open to considering one of those countries yet,
mm-hmm.
especially if I don't have student debts to pay off anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, my gosh. So are there any tips for people who would be interested in doing the same?
As I already said, make sure you do your research first.
Mm-hmm.
Decide where you'd like to take the course, what kind of options are available for teaching after the course, what kind of country you want to go to afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Also make sure if an online option is better for you. It might be.
Yeah.
Look at your financial options. Maybe you have to take an online course because you can't afford to take it on location. Also, once you decide on a country, I would highly recommend researching what it's like to live there. For example, the
mm-hmm.
showers in Costa Rica are electric, and the temperature is controlled by the water flow. So
oh,
if
wow.
you have the tap wide open, you're going to have a cold shower.
Oh.
If you have it only going a little bit, then you'll have a warm shower.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not supposed to flush toilet paper there, so knowing both of those things beforehand really saved me the, oh no, what did I get myself into kind of feeling once I was there.
Yeah, that's good.
So yeah, that would be the main thing. Just research as much as you can about it so you go into it prepared.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, so I think that's it. Thank you so much for doing this interview with me. I'm sorry, I sound really lame. It's because I have a sinus infection.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on. I enjoyed it.
Do you have, like, any social media where we can find you or, like, blogs?
No blog. I tried that once, but I am absolutely horrible at continually writing it. But you can find me on Facebook as Melody Brock.
Okay.
And my Instagram account is connected to that. The username is Melshmallow046 there, but it's connected to the Facebook.
Perfect. So you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, social media by using dmtenhutko, and my blog is danikatenhutko.com. So that's pretty much it. If you have any questions, just drop them off in the message or like comment section somewhere, or like just send us both a message on Facebook and we'll be glad to answer it. And thank you, Mal, for obliging in this interview.
And thank you very much for having me.
Okay, bye.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.